Teams, classes, communities, we're all part of so many special groups, both online and in the real world. It's as though humans can't get enough of their little families. But it's important for us to understand that we feel this way because the family unit is desperately important to God. Even though our world may be trying to do away with the family, God has gifted it with so much purpose. In the family, we are given life, taught how to know God, presented the opportunity to mirror Him to the world, and help our family members learn how to worship Him. And isn't that worth celebrating? The one true God of the universe has existed since eternity past in ultimate perfection. He spoke the cosmos into existence for His sole honor and glory. He moved heaven and earth to redeem mankind, even though we have nothing to offer Him. And He's given us everything we need for life and godliness in His Word. He deserves our worship. He deserves our adoration. He deserves our praise. I'm your host, A.M. Brewster, and this is the Celebration of God. Can you believe it's almost August? Aaron, don't rush it. I'm not trying to rush it. I just like to give us fair warning so we don't get caught off guard. It's way too easy for the future to surprise us. As a biblical family counselor, I often work with parents who were caught off guard in their parenting. They were certain they had more time, only to find their children got older and older, and before too long, all of the grand goals they had for their parenting were left far behind. I don't want that for any of us. I'd much rather be the guy saying, "Your life is but a vapor, and then it vanishes away, so redeem the time because the days are evil." We all have less time than we like to think, and we need to be intentional if we're going to worship God with every moment of every day. And that's why we need to be reminded that July is coming to a close. We will only have this one chance to use this July to God's honor and glory, so let's stay intentional. And speaking of intentionality and worship, I hope you've been enjoying our most recent series called What is Worship? If you didn't catch the first two parts, check them out, and then join us later as we wrap it up. We'll be getting into part three next week, and then we'll tackle part four at the beginning of our second celebratory year starting in September. Oh, but there's so much to do before then, including preparing for, celebrating, and discipling on Family Day. So, lastly, before we jump into the material for today, come follow us on social media. We do our absolute best to point your mind toward celebrating God all throughout the day. We love to redeem your feed, and we hope following us on Facebook and Instagram helps you become a better disciple of God. Now, let's talk about this Family Day thing. I found that most Christians aren't familiar with Family Day, and that kind of makes sense since it was mostly an Arizona thing. In America, Family Day just so happens to be the 14th state-recognized holiday in Arizona, and it was signed into law in 1978. Since then, it's caught on in other states, including where I currently live, North Carolina. But there are many other countries that have their own Family Day, including Australia, Canada, Israel, and Vietnam, just to name a few. But regardless of where you live, the idea behind Family Day is similar to that of days that celebrate the individual family members. Yet it's also very different because it's not about the parts of the family, it's about the significance of the whole. Now, we're going to talk about how to prepare for, celebrate, and disciple during Family Day, but I want to start by helping us understand why it may be valuable for you and your family to worship God by observing Family Day this year. Number one, why should we observe Family Day? Travel back in time with me to the dawn of creation. After creating a cosmos capable of sustaining human life, God created a single human being. God created Adam first for a couple key reasons. First, God wanted Adam to experience a relationship with Him before introducing other humans. This was set an important precedent that the most important relationship a person can ever have is one with his Creator. But God also wanted Adam to recognize that he was incomplete without a helper. God wanted Adam and Eve to recognize how badly they would need each other and how integral their relationship was going to be to helping them flourish in their primary relationship with God. And so, on day six, God made Eve, and for the first time in human history, a family was created. Before cities, governments, teams, and even organized religion, God created a family. And immediately, God tasked the new family with bringing more people into the family. Every human being on earth is part of that Genesis family, and yet every time a child leaves his or her parents and cleaves to his or her spouse, a unique family is created. The scripture-wide doctrine of the family is complicated and glorious. It includes the miracle of procreation, but it's also the fertile soil of discipleship. And families that please the Lord are living illustrations of the Trinity as well as God's relationship to the church. The family is truly a miraculous unit that no Christian should take for granted. And this is why our world is still trying to dismantle the family. They've been doing it since Cain murdered his brother, and they're viciously trying to tear it apart today. Broken families, perverted collections of people who claim to be a family, it's the world's best attempt to come up with something better than God's original design of a married man, woman, and their kids. And this is why I believe followers of Christ would do well to meditate on God's design for the family. Of course, I believe our study of the family should last far more than just one day. That's probably why I have a whole podcast dedicated to it. But setting aside the first Sunday in August for a special emphasis on serving the family and celebrating God in light of the family is a great place to start. Now, before we get into the details, once again, I do feel the need to observe that not everyone under the sound of my voice may feel like they have a family worth celebrating. There are very likely parents who are having a desperately arduous time with their kids right now. Grown children who are estranged from their abusive parents. Husbands and wives at odds. And here's the thing. I've had to say this a lot lately. Sin hurts. I get it. That's an unescapable reality. But here's the thing. When people use man's sin to justify not worshiping God, they can justify whatever they want. We don't reject God's existence because there's brokenness in the world. We don't refuse to give Christ the preeminence because bad things happen. And I'm going to have to unashamedly and unapologetically proclaim that you must not allow yourself to not celebrate God simply because people in your family have sinned against you. If we stop celebrating God at church because people in the church have sinned against us, God will no longer be God of the church. If we stop worshiping God in how we vote simply because our godless government abuses us, then what does that say about us? Now, I know not all of you are struggling with your family right now or in the past, but those of you who are, please, you seriously need to reconsider celebrating Family Day to the honor and glory of the God who created your family for your greatest good and His greatest glory. And here's how you can do that no matter what the current state of your family is. Number two, preparing. I strongly encourage you to head over to celebrationofgod.com and download our Family Bible Day reading, taking time to meditate on God's creation of the family, His will for your family, and His promise to give the family exactly what they need to be exactly what they need to be is going to be an awesome exercise. And then spend some soul-searching time in prayer with God. Thank Him for knowing what's best. Praise Him for only giving you what you need to be conformed to the image of Christ. Talk with Him about how you can make Him the preeminent focus in your family today. And then put it on the calendar that you're going to worship God on the first Sunday in August. And while you're at it, go ahead and decorate your celebration wall with some key passages from the Family Day Bible reading, pictures of your family, a prayer list of those who need the Lord, and even a bunch of family blessings for which you're thankful. Every family is a precious gift from God, and we should all strive to see the wonderful blessings He's given us in our family, both our immediate and our extended families. The key to the preparation stage is all about getting our hearts ready to truly worship God. That means we need a heart of joy, peace, contentment, and thanksgiving when it comes to our families. Number three, celebrating. I love that these family days like Mother's Day and Father's Day and Children's Day are on Sunday. I didn't always feel like that. As a kid, I hated it when special days fell on Sunday, but then let's be honest, I was living for me back then. I wasn't living for God. And now that I see all of these special family days landing on Sunday, when we gather together with the body of Christ in order to celebrate Him, I couldn't imagine anything more beautiful. So start celebrating Family Day by going to church. I think it would be a great idea for pastors to take a day to remind the body of God's expectations for the family. I think this would be a great small group focus. I also think this would be an amazing day for the church to put on a community family day event. This would be a great time to invest in the families and the community by giving them a good time, introducing them to the local body of believers, and looking for opportunities to build redemptive relationships with them. Even if your church doesn't take this fantastic opportunity to connect with your community, your family can still celebrate God on this wonderful day. Read the family passages together. Thank God for His blessings in your family. Play together, serve each other to God's honor and glory, and have a great time reveling in the beautiful gift that is family. And of course, don't forget, number four, discipling. Think of this. When it comes to Family Day in the future, how your disciplees think and act is largely going to be influenced by you. You have a chance to not only set your disciplees up to really enjoy and look forward to celebrating Family Day, but you have a chance to teach them to be Godward in their focus. How you lead your fellow disciplees, whether they be your own kids or classmates or fellow church members, how you lead them in celebrating God during Family Day can have them looking forward to Family Day for years to come. Instead of them learning to despise Family Day, wouldn't it be awesome if you taught them the best way to guarantee loving it every year? And the best way is to make worshiping God the goal. Now, our inaugural celebratory year will be coming to a close at the end of August. But not only are there still some amazing holidays to observe as we work on worshiping God every day of the year, but when this year comes to a close, the next celebratory year will just be starting. So join us next time as we discuss how split worship affects us and our fellow disciples, and then we get to talk about Scripture Day and the consummation. I'll see you then.
If you want to know God better, celebrate Him more, and help the ones you love to do the same, subscribe to this podcast and visit celebrationofgod.com to learn more about this dynamic discipleship resource. And remember, the Celebration of God is a listener-supported ministry.